Hello, and welcome to What is Wrong with Hiring, the podcast where we talk about why hiring people and getting hired in tech are both absolute nightmares, and of course, where we try to figure out what we can do about it. I'm Amy Santee, a career coach for the fabulous people who work in user experience and who are going to be pretty familiar with what I'm going to discuss today. The topic being, what the heck is going on with the UX job market? To cut a long story short, it's a complete shit show right now. We've got continuing mass layoffs and hiring freezes, which all began almost 2 years ago in mid-2022. User experience professionals across the board are going through the ringer to secure interviews and offers, and landing a job is taking way longer than it used to. I recently wrote a long-form blog post where I took a look at existing data sources and general job seeker sentiment that I have been paying attention to on LinkedIn and in various other communities and conversations with my coaching clients, and bringing this all together to try and make sense of what's going on in the UX job market in the United States and what we might be able to expect in the near term. And this was a pretty big undertaking because there's not a lot of precise data about what's going on. We can see trends in the tech job market. Things are not going well overall. But given that I work with user experience professionals, I wanted to focus specifically on that group. I'll be mentioning a number of observations and conclusions that have been made about the state of the tech and UX job market. And I may not necessarily mention in this podcast where that information came from. If for some reason I don't, please visit the written form of this episode over at my blog, where I have links to all of my citations and sources. And, you know, working on this post over the past couple of weeks, looking at all of the data, thinking about everything I'm seeing, even thinking about how it has affected my own business and what my own future might look like as someone who no longer practices UX, but who works with UX professionals and is plugged into the community, there are implications for my own business, for other coaches, for design agencies, for people who work in design but who are not getting laid off. And frankly, I'm exhausted. I am not even bringing my normal energy to this podcast because of being immersed in the layoffs vicariously, if you will, and seeing them happen on a seemingly day-to-day basis now that we're in 2024. And I don't really feel very optimistic about things right now. And honestly, never expected this sort of thing to happen. And I really don't think this has anything to do with the fundamental value of user experience for product design and business strategy. I'd like to start with a brief history of the UX job market from 2011 to 2022. And the reason I'm starting it there is because I first stepped foot into the world of UX straight out of grad school in 2011, when I joined a large insurance company to do UX research for all manner of exciting products and services. I mean, honestly, I find any industry and any product interesting when it has to do with human beings, but that's besides the point. Back in 2011, the job market was picking up after the Great Recession of late 2007 to mid-2009, which was excellent timing for me because it could have been much more difficult to try and find my first job a year or two prior. And while it still felt difficult at the time, I mean, I applied for about 50 qualitative research jobs, and I didn't really care where I went as long as I got a job. But it wasn't difficult because there weren't enough jobs to go around. It had more to do with my inexperience at job searching and effectively talking about my skills and training. And after about 5 months of searching, I finally received a couple of offers, and the rest is history. And since then, UX has experienced more than a decade of steady growth. Especially with the tech hiring boom during the COVID-19 pandemic, UX really exploded and got a lot of hype as a viable, fulfilling, and well-paying career path. Design orgs at the largest tech companies grew into the literal thousands. I remember people telling me Google has a UX team of thousands of people and Facebook, and I just was like, holy crap, like this is unbelievable and amazing. And even smaller companies and startups were bringing on their first designers and researchers, and existing teams were staffing up further. And so, of course, there was a lot of work to be done for all of us, design, research, content, and new specializations like research operations and design operations. There were lots of jobs, of course, with the exception of entry-level roles, which have always been scarce relative to the number of new entrants coming out of school and out of boot camps, which has always been disproportionate. It was pretty common for candidates to get multiple well-paid offers at once and to be selective about where they decided to work. And negotiating for more money and sign-on bonuses and other perks, that was expected. That was a matter of fact, a common practice, and could result in a significant increase in total compensation. So everything was going really well. Then came the tech job apocalypse. Layoffs.fyi is the main place to go to get real-time data on tech layoffs as they happen, and to see historically how many people have been laid off, how many companies, which companies, all of that. And as of this week, they have documented 440,000 tech workers who have been let go by over 1,000 companies since the beginning of 2022. And my guess is that this is an undercount, and it's probably at least 500,000 people, because it doesn't seem to include some of the companies with tech worker layoffs at places that aren't considered tech companies or product companies. So for example, a while back, Thomson Reuters had some layoffs, and that's not considered a tech or product company, but tech workers were laid off from there. It also doesn't include contractor cuts. It doesn't reflect the trend of quiet firing, which is when a company tells their employees they need to come back to the office or else, and it basically forces them to quit their job rather than the company having to lay off those people. And there's a variety of takes on why this is happening that range from the abstract to the specific. So pandemic overhiring, interest rates, inflation, the economy, whatever that means, redundancies. What does that even mean? Artificial intelligence, which is displacing some human labor. Of course, billionaires who are trying to grab power back from workers and put them in their place. That's probably part of it. Companies wanting to prioritize shareholder interests and drive up the stock price, right? Like, I think it's a mix of all of these things, but that's outside the scope of this conversation today. So if we're looking at the layoffs trend, there was a peak in early 2023. And since then, there's been a month-to-month decrease in the number of people being let go and the number of companies doing the letting go. And I hope to see this trend continue downward, but I really can't say for sure because there are too many factors at play. And frankly, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that we will see another spike of layoffs if big tech companies like Meta and Amazon and Microsoft and Google decide to cut 10,000 more people in a single day, as they have done several times. And we've already seen the CEO of Google say that there will be more cuts coming up. We've had numerous layoffs already in the first month of 2024. So as a result, the job market for tech roles in the US, and that includes engineering, design, research, recruiting, you name it, it's as competitive as it's ever been. And at this point, we have got thousands of UX professionals at all levels who are out of a job and who are looking for a new one. And it's likely that UX people have been hit disproportionately as compared with engineers and product and other roles inside of tech. I first talked about this in March 2022 in a post that I wrote for academics wanting to transition into user experience. And in 2022, academics comprised 39% of my client base. And last year in 2023, it was just 4%. And that was actually the result of an intentional business decision I made to pivot my coaching practice away from people who, frankly, I'm not able to help land a job as quickly as was previously possible, if at all. So I became a lot more selective because I didn't want to lead people to think that they would be able to replicate the success of academics or other career transitioners that came before them and who kind of just lucked out with that hiring explosion during the pandemic. Now let's talk about some trends and forecasting for UX roles in 2024. So far, I've talked about some data for the overall tech job market. And as far as UX, I've cobbled together everything I can find to try and make sense of the situation. And of course, if anyone out there knows of other sources or data that I can incorporate into my post or angles that I'm not considering, please send me an email or send me a message on LinkedIn, and I would love to take a look. All right, focusing on UX, the latest available quant data analysis on UX design and research jobs, which are the most common specializations in UX, is from Catherine Brookshire, who is a UX manager at Indeed. And her analysis shows a huge dip in the number of openings for UX and design roles in Q1 2023 versus the peak in 2022. And her analysis uses data from almost a year ago, but it does provide some helpful historical context for what is going on today. Next, I took a look at the 2023 State of User Research Annual Report, which is done each year by User Interviews. This was a report of research findings based on a survey of 929 respondents, and it found that between May 2022 and May 2023, 11% of those respondents were laid off, and 43% of respondents lost UX research colleagues to layoffs in addition to other functions at their companies. 59% of respondents reported team hiring freezes during that time period, with two-thirds reporting a continued freeze with no plans to hire, and 17% reported an increase in hiring. Next, I took a look at several articles published by Lawton Pybus, who is a user research consultant. One of them is an article that he recently published with a very fresh synopsis of UX research hiring trends and forecasting for the 2024 job market. And what he did was he pulled job listings data from Indeed and found that UX research positions have decreased by 89% from the peak in 2022 to January 2024. All I can say is, oof, that just blows my mind. Lawton also conducted a survey with 73 UX researchers using a snowball sample to explore the need for additional support on their teams to handle the workload and whether or not teams are hiring now or during the first half of 2024. And while his findings are not statistically significant, they are definitely qualitatively significant and helpful to pair up with the other data sources that I've been looking at. And the results of the survey he did are pretty mixed. Half of the respondents said that their teams need help or plan to hire soon, while the other half feel that they're staffed up well enough. Half said that they plan to hire in the next 6 months, and half said that they don't. So it's really a toss-up. Plus, as Lawton notes, these responses reflect people's perceptions of hiring plans and the state of their organizations, which, as we know, may not match with reality. I would be curious to know what those folks' perceptions would be of potential team and company layoffs, and I think that would be pretty interesting to explore if someone wants to do that. Lawton also shared with me some unpublished cursory search query results from Indeed, which show a pretty drastic difference in job openings between various tech roles, including UX research, UX design, product management, and engineering, with a significant decline among all four of these roles in the past 7 months. And Historically, the ratio of engineers and product managers to UX practitioners has always been disproportionate, with engineering being the most prevalent and research being the least. And so the data that Lawton pulled shows that engineers experience the highest amount of layoffs in absolute numbers, probably because there are more of them to be laid off. But percentage-wise, UX research and UX design are a bit higher. So what does this all mean? Well, the general consensus amongst practitioners who are paying attention is that things are not great for the UX job market across all specializations and levels of experience. And we're coming up on 2 years since the mass layoffs began in mid-2022. And what I'm seeing strongly indicates that things are not going well and won't be rebounding anytime soon. And I hate to say it, it's depressing. It blows my mind. And I really feel for everyone out there who has been impacted. And no one is safe. No one is safe from these layoffs. But it's not just the trends and the data that I've brought together for this post that lead me to this conclusion. It's also a qualitative pattern of constant, really disheartening posts from frustrated job seekers on LinkedIn, people being laid off, entire teams of content strategists being laid off at once, conversations over on subreddits for UX research and UX design. And of course, other UX specialties are being hit hard too, including content design and operations. So all of this, plus my own public and private conversations with people in UX, the experiences of my coaching clients over the past year or so, people who are looking for jobs after a layoff, all of this together is what leads me to my conclusion. So what's next for UX? Anyone can make predictions for the 2024 job market, but big picture, no one really knows what's in store for hiring and layoffs in UX and the tech sector broadly for the next 6 months, the next year, except the people who are making those decisions, and that's not the workers. Maybe we're past the worst part of the storm, and maybe there will be aftershocks. It's really hard to say. I would like to call out that the long-term growth trend of UX jobs over the past couple of decades has been steady and has been increasing. But again, there's so much up in the air with the factors that have caused all of these layoffs to begin with. And in addition to all of the job market turmoil, we have to factor in the knowns and unknowns of larger social and technological trends that are going on, like AI and LLMs and the upcoming election in the US and global geopolitical unrest and all of these other factors that will have an impact on the job market. All right, so what can we do about it? The fact is that the trappings of a successful job search that sufficed before all of this shit went down, like having a standout resume, solid interview performance, having a great network, those are all still 100% necessary. But these days, it feels like luck and persistence and just being in the right place at the right time are a big component. At a certain point, it seems like there's nothing else that can be done if you've gotten all of your materials squared away, your networking, you're being strategic with your approach. And if this is your experience, please know that you're not alone in this strife. It's taking more effort and time than ever for everyone. Again, regardless of how experienced they are, regardless of the brand names on their resume, everyone is having more of a challenge than they would have a year or two ago. Adonis. And it's safe to say that if you're getting a lot of no's or non-responses to applications, it may not have anything to do with you and your qualifications and your materials and your general awesomeness as a UXer, as a tech worker. It's all of the other factors that we can't really do anything about. So to relieve some of the pressure and stress of the job search, it's important to focus on what's within your reach and what you can actually affect. And that's always been the case, but it's as important as ever to really focus on that and to not internalize a no on an application or candidacy as a personal flaw or failure. Not to mention being laid off. That is also not a personal flaw or failure. It probably has nothing to do with you. I want to close out with some ideas for the job search, given the challenges of this market. of course, you want to keep doing all the regular required things that in normal times would get you a job. So having a good story, a strong resume, preparing well for interviews and case study presentations, you get the point. All of that's still important. You want to understand your personal priorities and goals to set some direction and know where to focus. So being strategic and organized and intentional and selective with every action that you take to make sure that it's a good use of your time and your energy and your overall effort. It's also important to know your strengths and expertise really well so that you can position yourself uniquely within a specific niche and apply to roles that will value what you bring. Perhaps you've done a bunch of work in healthcare or e-commerce, or you've worked on a certain type of technology like wearables or AR and VR or mobile, right? Think of the things that distinguish you from other people looking for jobs and focus on that. You want to apply to enough jobs and consistently, but also avoid mass applying, which just isn't a good use of time. It is not a numbers game. Even though there are fewer jobs and more people looking, it really still is not a numbers game. So stay targeted to jobs that are the best match for your skills and your interests and your strengths, and again, where you will be positioned well versus other candidates. You may also consider taking a position that isn't ideal, but is good enough for now, whether it's in UX or another field. And again, it has to do with everyone's individual priorities. So you might decide to optimize for money instead of a product or industry you're interested in. Maybe you don't want to go back into the office, but you're open to hybrid if it can get you a job. Getting work outside of your field or even taking a break is also an option. And it doesn't mean you are a failure and it doesn't mean you can't come back. And I think this can get wrapped up in our identities as tech workers and as user experience professionals. And if you do decide to do something different for the time being, it doesn't mean you are no longer a UX professional. You're just taking a break. You're just doing something different. And personally speaking, I'm going to have to diversify my income this year as well because my business has been affected by all of this. My clients are tech workers. My clients are UX professionals. So the layoffs are having a cascading effect on me and other coaches and other businesses that serve the UX community. Another idea is to look into fractional or freelance or self-employment or contract work. And you can also diversify your income streams between UX work and whatever other type of work you want. You might go be a bartender, you might do some gardening, office administration, copy editing if you're a good writer. Flipping antiques on eBay, that's definitely something that I've done in the past and that I actually enjoy doing. So think of some other possibilities just to supplement your income if you decide to go out on your own. Of course, you can spend time filling skills gaps. You can learn some new skills based on what's in demand in the market, like quantitative research methods, data science, programming languages, artificial intelligence. Maybe you're a visual designer and you want to expand more into interaction design. There's a lot of options there to figure out how to make your skills more marketable. Of course, networking is still very important. And I'm talking about reconnecting with people that you know, nurturing existing relationships, building new ones, and again, staying targeted and selective with how you spend your time. And reciprocal relationships are always better than transactional, but people understand that networking is part of finding a job. So it's okay to reach out and ask for an informational interview, a referral through someone you know. I think it's a good idea to ask a random stranger for a referral because you want to have some kind of relationship there already. But you have nothing to lose in doing any of this. And so the worst that can happen is a person says no or they don't respond to you. LinkedIn. I do spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I think it can be really valuable for a job search and building up a reputation and just meeting people and having interesting conversations and staying in the know. But being findable on LinkedIn and having an updated profile and having a green open to work headshot banner, you want to help people help you by posting publicly about your search. So if you're open to it, you can post on LinkedIn to share your expertise and your perspective on popular topics. That can catch the eye of someone who is hiring or someone who's on a team that's looking for people to join the team. And so building that reputation can benefit your overall career and, of course, your current job search. It does happen. But no, you do not need to become a Thoughtfluencer TM. You don't need to post selfies. I mean, the LinkedIn algorithm seems to favor selfies, so it's totally fine if you want to, but I know that's kind of cringeworthy to a lot of folks, and it is not necessary. Overall, you want to use your time and energy wisely. For example, if you're posting and commenting on LinkedIn, that can be really helpful for connecting and just putting yourself out there. And if you're scrolling through the LinkedIn feed and looking at stuff, you want to make sure it's curated to your interests and your field, and that you're really getting something out of it, like new information and connections and job leads. But if you're just endlessly scrolling and liking stuff and not really being selective about whose content is coming to you and there's a lot of noise, it's not going to be as helpful. You're going to be wasting time doing that. So think about how to make the best use of your time and energy. I'll close by talking a little bit about the origin of the article and this podcast episode, which was a LinkedIn post that I wrote a couple of weeks ago in which I advise people who are interested in a UX career, so coming into UX for the first time, to take very careful consideration when signing up for career programs like boot camps and trainings and courses and career coaching. And so I posted this and a conversation happened and I thought, okay, I'm going to go write something a little bit more in depth for my blog. And as I began collecting and incorporating all the data that I've talked about for the article, it really blew up into quite a lengthy tome that I felt needed to be split out into a couple of posts. So that's what I decided to do. So we have this one about the state of the UX job market. The second one, part two, is going to be entitled Why UX Bootcamps, Training, and Career Coaching Can't Help You Get Your First UX Job in 2024. And I will have a third as well, which is going to be called We Can Do Better, A Firm Request to UX Career Service Providers as We Plan for 2024 and Beyond. So stay tuned for these on the socials, or you can sign up for my newsletter. And I want to give a special thanks to a few folks who provided me with some really insightful feedback on my drafts. So that's Lawton Pybus, Michael Levan, Robin Rubenstein, Josh Pierce, and Zara Logue. And that is all the time we have for today. If there's a question or topic you'd like us to discuss, please reach out to me on LinkedIn. Once again, I'm Amy Santee, and Laura and I would like to thank all of you for listening, and we wish you all the best of luck with your search, no matter what you're looking for. We are rooting for you.